Judiciary Committee, Tuesday, June 21st, 1977, 1:30 p.m. Public hearing and work session, room 350. Page 46. 49.
Let me attend the order. It's going to be 9:04.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Stephen Gaffori, State Senator of District 7. I have with me Jim Havel from the Legislative Alcohol and Drug Staff. I should briefly go through the history of Senate Bill 904, Uniform Controlled Substances Act. The state of Oregon's narcotics laws presently are, and pharmaceutical laws are, a uniform act that was passed in the 1930s. And which since that time has become obsolete. There's a new Uniform Controlled Substances Act that was written in the late 60s, I think, that our bill is modeled after. This bill was recommended first for the adoption of the Uniform Controlled Substances Act by the 1971-72 Interim Committee, which Senator Potts was chairman. It was introduced at the request of the Interim Committee in 1973, and I was co-chairman of the Alcohol and Drug Committee. We examined the act, but it needed lots of work, and more work than we had time to do during the middle of the session. So we asked the Mental Health Division staff and subcommittee of the Committee on Drug Problems, the statutory committee, which was in the Mental Health Division, to look at the Uniform Controlled Act and see if we couldn't come up with something that was workable for Oregon. They worked on it. They weren't ready for 1975 session. So we worked on it again through the interim between 75 and presently. In the present time, this is our result of Senate Bill 904. So this bill has been recommended for passage since 1971 and has been modified and amended since that time. This Committee on Drug Problems brought the bill to me at the beginning of this session, and Jim Havel and I worked a couple of months, several hours a week, going through the bill and rewriting areas of it to do what we wanted it to do. And I think that now it's a very good act. This bill basically puts a rational approach to the problem of regulating drugs, both pharmaceutical and non-pharmaceutical drugs. There's one part of the bill, of course, that has gained some notoriety in the press, but that's not the main part of the bill. That's not basically what the bill is about. There were three problem areas in the drug laws as they exist today. First of all, the responsibility at the present time is not clear between the Board of Pharmacy, which has the primary responsibility for the regulation and distribution of legal controlled substances, and the Mental Health Division, which administers the state plan for drug problems, which involves prevention and treatment of abuse problems. Secondly, there are conflicts in the present law between state and federal statutes regarding the manufacturing, distributing, and administering of pharmaceuticals. So that presently, pharmacists and those who are wholesalers in drugs are breaking state laws if they abide by the federal law and vice versa. Thirdly, the existing classification of illicit drugs is not based upon current scientific knowledge regarding the dangers of such drugs, and nor do the criminal statutes reflect a rational differentiation between either drugs with different health potentials or between different prohibited activities using these drugs. For example, marijuana and heroin are scheduled the same as dangerous drugs. Possession of small amounts, except with the exception of marijuana, possession of small amounts is equal penalty to sale of large amounts in the present Oregon statute. What the bill does is create a committee on controlled substances in the health division. It's made up of 7 members, 3 pharmacologists, 3 practitioners, which would be pharmacists or doctors, and 1 citizen knowledgeable about the use and abuse of controlled substances. This committee, with the advice of the Committee on Drug Problems, which is made up of law enforcement officers, drug treatment workers, agency staff people, other professionals, and involved citizens, will create 5 schedules for controlled substances based upon their hazard potential. We have a rigidly defined criteria for how they will define hazard potential. Literature on the drugs will be examined by the committee, and they will schedule all controlled substances based on scientific criteria involving psychosocial impairment, psychomotor impairment, health impairment, dependence potential, and the permanence of any of these effects. Alcohol and tobacco are specifically exempted from the Act. Interestingly enough, there's no doubt in my mind that if alcohol and tobacco were placed on this Act, they would be up in the highest categories, and there would be heavy felony violations for even for possessing even small amounts. So.
And the Act would not pass.
And the Act would not pass. We can't put total rationality into Oregon laws, but to some extent, I think we can. The criminal penalties are then brought into conformance with this procedure by making the penalties more severe for violations involving more dangerous drugs, as defined by their placement on the schedule. Offenses of a commercial nature, such as illegal manufacturing or delivery, are treated more seriously than possessory offenses. In some cases, penalties are made more severe than they are in the present law. For example, with regarding sales to minors. This is the request of the state police and other narcotics enforcement officers, with whom the Judiciary Committee works very closely on the final draft. We're going to be testifying here this afternoon, and they may disagree on a point or two in the bill, but basically, we've worked very closely with law enforcement and I think we've met most of their objections in terms of making the bill workable from their point of view. The State Board of Pharmacy is authorized to promulgate rules for the regulation of manufacturing, distributing, and dispensing, and conducting research with controlled substances. The role of the Mental Health Division is clearly defined in terms of education, research, and treatment in the area of drug abuse, with the advice of the Committee on Controlled Substances. The treatment of marijuana is in the bill, and I think it's probably the only controversial aspect of the bill. Marijuana is defined as more than an ounce. So if any quantity is more than an ounce...
Where are you now in the bill?
Oh, in the definition section. So any definition of more, excuse me, any amount of more than an ounce will be treated along with all other substances. In page 6, line 1 defines marijuana, and we've been informed by the state police they have a definitional change of cannabis sativa L to another technical term, which we had in the past. They asked to change, now they're asking to change it back again. I think they asked, maybe somebody asked to change it. Anyway, that's just a classification of the family name so that we do include those variations of marijuana that we all want to have defined in the Controlled Substances Act. We have no objection to their definition, as I said, within our original bill. But all marijuana will be treated then, all quantities of marijuana, more than an ounce, or... Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Just while I'm talking with what you're saying, are you saying that
that a growing plant would not be defined as marijuana, but that a harvested plant would be, if it weighed more than an ounce?
More than two plants, or more than one ounce, would be treated like any other controlled substance that would be placed on a schedule by the committee on drug problems, or by the committee on, I think that's the name of it.
Well,
by the committee, just the same as Librium or Valium or heroin or Digitalis or any other controlled substance will be placed on based on its hazard potential. Less than an ounce or less than two plants is treated separately under the bill.
Okay, but I just want to be clear that you have a growing plant 12 feet high, super fertilized and all that stuff. That's not defined as marijuana, no matter what the size, but as soon as the windstorm blows it down or somebody cuts it down, that's all of a sudden marijuana. Is that the operative effect of the definition?
Mm-hmm. This is in part the response of people who say, well, if you allow, right, why get the straight? We're not allowing anything. Everything we do in the bill with regard to less than us or less than, or two plants or less, is still a violation of against Oregon law, if not allowed. But if a person were growing one or two plants and they cut that plant down, if they cut down more than an ounce of it, then they would fall out of the category of less than an ounce.
And it would become marijuana.
Yeah. A growing plant...
No, you treat it definitionally, that's all.
Yeah,
if it's growing, it's not marijuana.
Right.
And if it falls down, it is.
Right, create a tremendous incentive to keep those plants healthy. Is this, do I understand this correctly?
It's a very interesting thing, that the whole area, and I'll get into this, if I may finish my discussion. Trying to deal in some manner in statute with a problem that is difficult to do. This was a way of doing it, which makes sense in terms of internal consistency in the act. It works out very easily. So less than an ounce will be scheduled, will be treated as the bill presently, the law presently treats less than an ounce for possession, criminal use, free cleaning, or remaining at a place where marijuana is used. These offenses were lowered in the 73 regular session and 74 special session. This bill also brings uniformity to the intent of previous legislatures by differentiating between commercial and possessory activities, by spreading this violation concept that we have in the present law to other activities such as cultivation and distributing without consideration, to remove anomalies such as the situation where you have less than an ounce in your possession, which is a useful amount, and that is a $100 violation. If you happen to have one plant, which in that form is not useful, that's certainly a Class B felony. If you are holding a marijuana cigarette in your hand, that presently is a violation. If you give that to a person sitting next to you, you have just committed a crime of delivery, transporting, which is a Class B felony, which we thought was rather severe. In summary, Senate Bill 904 is a result of years of studying compromise. It has had the input of every group interested in the problem, and although no one got all they wanted in this bill, and many object to one detail or another, no one is opposed to basically the concept of the bill. This is to be expected that legislation has had as many diverse elements contribute to its production. I submit that it's a thoughtful, progressive piece of legislation ought to be passed. Is that just for the bill, Mr. Chairman?
Steve, why don't we defer on that for a moment? I think probably our staff can help take us through.
Okay.
And maybe the work session we want to be available for questions.
I'd be happy to make the rationale for and explain some of the reasons why I've done things, if you'd like, whatever your pleasure is at this time.
Okay, why don't we defer on that for a moment. I'll see if there are questions at this point, okay. And then we'll take the other witness if you can.
And let me read that.
Well, for the most part, they seem to be here in support of you, which is not totally opposed. You're certainly invited to come
by. I'd just like to, if I could add two things. First of all, I think you're all in possession of a report from the Legislative Research Committee on present enforcement of cultivation. I introduced the cultivation bill, just cultivation, last session, and received positive testimony from several district attorneys around the state who told me that they were treating possession of small numbers of plants as violations presently. Counties as diverse as Klamath County and Benton County, for example. I was talking with my brother yesterday. He was an attorney in Portland. He said that he had a client who had 50 plants, small plants were growing, and got the client off in Washington County with a violation. He said if the same person had been arrested in Clackamas County, it would have been a felony. Most of the counties around, most of the police officers who are dealing with this problem presently are treating offenses and cultivation the same way that they've been treating possession offenses since we passed the 1973 law. That is, officers have not been taking little scales around and saying, ha-ha, you've got 1 3/4 ounces, I'm going to hit you with a felony arrest. They've been taking a look at the individual circumstances, individual person, and saying, is this a possessory offense for private use? Is this a commercial offense? Is this person keeping this quantity because he's selling it? The same thing is true presently with cultivation around the state. Mostly, if a person is growing a few plants for their own use, it's being treated as a violation. If they're growing large numbers of plants for cultivation, for commercial activity, it's being treated as a felony offense. All the bill does in the area of marijuana, really, is bring into conformity what is the present practice and make it uniform around the state so that what offense you get charged with depends on what crime you did rather than which side of the county line you happen to be located on. We do have some amendments that I'd like to propose.
How many states have passed the Uniform Controlled Substances Act?
How many? 44 have adopted, mostly in the form which was unacceptable to us in 1973. The basic concept is this, but the details of the work.
Have any of them added cultivation or subtracted it?
No states have cultivation. There are about eight states now who have adopted the Oregon marijuana law, and all states have, except one, have reduced their penalties severely for marijuana. That's very definitely for possession, a growing trend.
See, what, if any, federal law problems are there in dealing with a drug or a substance that is prescribed by the federal criminal code and allegedly by treaty?
As long as you don't get in the business of having the Oregon Liquor Control Commission purchasing it and selling it to liquor stores, that would be an illegal act in the federal law. But we don't have to make it illegal. We can lower our penalties, if you'd like.
But as long as it's a violation, are you satisfied?
It doesn't make any difference. We could totally legalize. Now, this happened.
Then we just have a federal crime.
Okay. And federal courts have said they're not enforcing these laws. Alaska, as you may know, they have a specific right to privacy in their state constitution. It's so worded. And the Alaska Supreme Court ruled that growing or possessing small amounts of marijuana in your own home falls under that right to privacy. So it's totally legal in the state of Alaska. It's not a violation to possess or to cultivate small amounts in your own home. That was done by Supreme Court ruling by the
Steve, I saw some material last session. I can't remember exactly now, but how big can a marijuana plant get if it's super well cultivated?
There's a picture the state police have of a big plant that's much taller than I am, I don't know, 10, 12 feet.
happen to have a listen today.
I have a listen today.
Exhibit A. My God.
Okay. Mr. Friedman from the Drug Enforcement Agency from Washington, D.C. has reviewed the act, and there's no federal problems with it. It's purely an issue of what we want to do in the Oregon legislature. And before we go into the amendments, I'd like one other brief thing. This is an interesting issue, marijuana, because the press of Oregon think it's the biggest thing since field burning. Burning grass in one way or burning grass another way is something that they're very excited about. Strangely enough, the people of Oregon are not at all interested. In 1973, when the first marijuana law was passed, I appeared on television several times during the newspapers. I received virtually no mail. The governor printed up a big pile of my letter that he was writing to answer those people who were going to write and ask him to veto the bill. We received 12 letters, 6 in favor and 6 against. I had an article, a letter in the Oregonian that you may have seen a couple weeks ago, saying that there was a poll showing that 60% of the people in Oregon either liked Oregon's marijuana law or wish it would be further liberalized. And I said I'd received almost no comment from anybody in the public over all these period of years about the issue. When I went door to door, I went door to door to every household in my district, I had 3 people talk to me about it. In response to that letter, I've got 3 angry letters back saying, what do you mean nobody's ever written to you? I'm writing to you now and I don't like it. I've received totally, since the legislature started, 5 letters opposed to it and 17 letters in favor of it. It's a non-issue as far as the public is concerned.
Well, but you couldn't make it.
why don't you hold your amendment?
Okay.
Until we actually come to a work session,
yeah,
I think that might be
sufficient. Okay, they're not substantive amendments, they're merely...
We have a copy here, it does appear that they're fairly...
Yeah, that takes some time to go through, and they don't really change anything, any meaning or depth. Except there's one thing to make sure that the DMSO bill that we passed out is not overruled by this bill, for example, the technical thing.
In those cases, I read your legislative research report. I don't think there's really anybody that I can think of that's probably growing 2 plants that's being charged with a felony present. I suppose that the BOA looks at not only the number of plants, but also whatever intent the person might have had. Now, if they had a thriving business, dealing in some other drugs and had 2 large 6-foot plants in his backyard, that seems to be probably prosecute that for a felony.
I don't know anybody that ever grown 2 plants. The reason for putting 2 plants in was purely political. The original bill had 6 plants and people thought that sounded like too much. Fine, make it 2. I don't make it 1. I don't care what amount is in here. Less than an ounce is a figure we grabbed out of the air. What we are trying to do is to set a principle, that principle being that there's a difference between private use, commercial activity. The police, the prosecutors, the courts, everyone, they like the 1 ounce possession. There was a lot of unhappiness among law enforcement officials when this first came out. The polls have shown that law enforcement around the state generally very pleased with the 1 ounce of possession. They're not enforcing it on a, the same thing is happening with cultivation presently. It doesn't really change much.
You know, I suppose you could look at it that way and say this was the Small Marijuana Business Growers Act. You know, there's a possibility, I suppose, that someone could get into growing 2 plants at a time, harvesting a little bit here and there, and selling...
You're committing most of your time. You're out of the business. That's the thing to cut it down. If you cut down more than enough, you're out of the business. If you manufacture it, if you take it after you cut it down and dry it, then you're out of that provision. The only thing I'm getting at, police don't go around and chase people down to find out who's got a plant or who's growing. It has happened. It happened in Washington County where a person had 1 plant in their and which ours were destroying. So I got in the act and called up and ACLU and other people, and we wanted to make a test piece out of it so we could find it was unconstitutional like it did in Alaska and get it thrown out totally.
You handled that case? It was my father.
It was your father, I remember that, yeah. What happened is somebody calls up and says there's an argument going on next door neighbor's house. They're having a loud party. They're doing something else. For some reason, the policeman happened to go into someone's house and they find the plant keep growing. That's the time when it comes up. And the state police is here pro forma, they object to it. If it went through, it wouldn't make any, I don't think it would make any difference to them.
I'll let them speak for themselves.
I'll let them speak for themselves.
Just a formality.
Yes.
A formality.
There has been no one, to my knowledge.
You've been in the state senate too long. I knew what happened.
To my knowledge, there's been no one lobbying this bill.
Lobbying?
Lobbying.
Senator, you're coming from the county that grows them tall. 350 plants. Actually, have you seen the picture of the whole orchard? It was magnificent. I've seen this one before. I see they answered one of my questions, is how many ounces of grass can be produced from one plant? And this thing is 1 pound, 3 ounces.
That's an enormous plant. That's right.
7 feet, 2 inches. Actually, can you break off branches and regenerate
That question was asked in the committee. I've never had any experience with it. I suppose it's a thing.
I'm not calling for an admission again.
No, I know the senator went to very detailed description of how exactly you do go about taking off the plant and drying it and getting the seeds out and manicuring it and making it a preparation of people can inhale. The law is behind social norms. You can go into any bookstore in the state and buy a book on how to grow marijuana.
This is Walmart. Specifically, I'm looking at section 15. Subparagraph F.
Could you
indicate
on that, please?
Section 15, down on line 17, subparagraph F. Page 15,
I'm sorry.
Page 15, section 15.
Yeah.
Now we got the phrase in there, any person who manufactures or delivers two or less growing plants for less than 1 ounce, dried leaves, etc. It seems to me that where do you, first of all, in terms of if you sell less than 2 plants,
that's a crime.
Or less than an ounce, that's a crime contrast with a violation.
Right.
Is that somewhere in this law?
Yes.
Or about in this law?
Well, that's part of the definition of section. We changed the definition of delivery, and that's one of our amendments on to make it clear. I think we're Page 4, lines 3 or 4, our amendments take care of that anomaly in that what happened, I didn't see that until later when I was looking through the amendments. We had drawn them up conceptually and then passed them out the Senate. I noticed that after it had come out conceptually, I thought I'm not going to say anything now because it's late in the session. I let it pass the floor of the Senate and check it when it comes over here to the House. Delivery is going to be defined if you accept the amendment as transfer without consideration. So I mean it's giving.
You could give up to 2 plants
or less than that. This is basically a non-commercial activity.
Okay. I guess I have to express my ignorance in this whole area. But I guess I was just born too early, I guess, or too late. In the less than an ounce, how many joints do you make out of less than an ounce of marijuana?
I've heard testimony somewhere around 25 or 35. I've never known anyone to take an ounce and roll it up. But that's what I've heard to testify. The reason for less than an ounce is the unit in which it's commonly sold. Less than an ounce, two-thirds an ounce, half an ounce, something like that. But
what I interpret this then would say in the...
like saying a bottle of beer. You know, beer is
absolute worth light that an individual who wants to simply give away joints to... did you say minors?
Yeah.
No restriction in here against minors?
Yeah, there's a...
I think it's a school ground situation.
Yeah, grade 17, section 20. In fact, we made this more serious than it is under present law. There used to be a three-year difference here where the so-called roommate exemption that if a 19-year-old happened to be rooming with a 17-year-old in college, for example, and you could give some controlled substance and it wouldn't be a crime, it would be a lesser crime. And we took that out at the request of the state police. So we're taking that 2 year out so that anybody, a 19-year-old, and say an 18-year-old to a 17-year-old, falls under a more severe penalty.
Does marijuana still retain its definition as a controlled substance?
More than
20.
No, it does not.
Or it, by definition, excluded marijuana from Section 20.
By definition, it excluded marijuana from Section 20.
So, in essence, then your minor prohibition doesn't apply.
In terms of giving marijuana cigarette to a young person, we're not following the Section 20, that's for sure. I don't know what other provisions of the statute of contributing to the illicit to the minor, what's in there, I don't know. Yeah.
But it does appear then that an individual who wants to merely distribute gratis, at least apparently gratis, joins the minors, the most of these subject to, if it's less than an ounce. If you're caught distributing less than an ounce, subject to a $100 fine.
Yeah, that situation never occurred to me. I was going to say whether that is covered in the contributing to the negative minor statute, I'm not aware. It is not covered under Section 20, and that may be something you may want to change.
I'm a little unclear as to what it is. Takes it out from 20.
Is it the definition of controlled substance? It's unlawful for a person to deliver a controlled substance to a person.
It's the definition of controlled substance.
Yeah.
Further questions?
Yes.
Do you have any questions? Yes. Yeah. Do you have Dick Glennon?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I'm Dick Runyon, Assistant Administrator of the Mental Health Division. I'll make my testimony somewhat more brief than it is because much of this has been covered by Senator Kapori. In testimony before the Legislative and Term Human Resources Subcommittee in August 1976, the Mental Health Division staff discussed problems with existing laws related to narcotics and dangerous drugs in the history of controlled substances legislation over the past several years. Oregon's laws related to narcotics and other dangerous drugs have been developed in a piecemeal fashion. They do not adequately reflect the existing and potential role and responsibilities of either the State Board of Pharmacy, which has primary responsibility for the regulation and distribution of controlled substances, or the Mental Health Division, which by delegation from the Department of Human Resources is a single state agency administering the state plan for drug problems and providing drug abuse prevention and treatment services. There are conflicts between state and federal statutes relating to controlled substances that create serious problems for pharmacists, physicians, and others who are involved in the manufacture, distribution, and administration of these substances. Representatives of the Board of Pharmacy can best speak to these issues. The statutes also create problems for law enforcement agencies attempting to enforce the laws that are vague or contradictory and lack credibility with substantial sections of the population of the state. The existing classification of narcotics and dangerous drugs in Oregon does not adequately reflect the current status of scientific knowledge related to these substances. As you heard earlier, that there's been an explosion of studies over the last 5-10 years in this area, and there's a lot of validating studies and information that can be used with the criteria that is proposed in this legislation. It's there and obtainable, and it just has to be collated and pulled together. There are not clear criteria, nor is there an orderly process for the classification of drugs with abuse and hazard potential. This contributes to public skepticism and fear about the whole topic. Unfortunately, decisions about the classification of substances within the Federal Controlled Substances Act, which is what many states are using, appear to have been made more on the basis of historical or political factors than on scientific merit or demonstrated danger to the abuser or to others. With the work that has gone into developing a Controlled Substances Act for Oregon over the last 4 years, we can resolve these problems and be in the position where Oregon is leading the nation with progressive legislation. The legislative history portion of this, I think, was well covered by Senator Kapori. In summary, significant components of the bill that the division endorses are: 1, establishment of schedules for the classification of drugs according to their relative hazard potential; 2, specification of criteria for determining the hazard potential and appropriate classification of drugs; 3, establishment of an orderly procedure for review and possible rescheduling of drugs currently scheduled by the federal government; 4, establishment of penalties related to controlled substances that correspond to the relative hazard potential of each substance. In turn, the Mental Health Division strongly supports the engrossed Senate Bill 904. It represents a major cooperative effort between agencies and groups that would be affected by controlled substances. The legislation addresses the major problems discussed previously. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Lombard, do your division have any opinion on the small pot farmers portion of the bill?
From a clinical standpoint, as a treatment person that's been in Oregon since 1962 and in this role over the last 5 years, marijuana really hasn't been an essential clinical problem that we're seeing in treatment programs. It's often associated with other drugs or other kinds of problems that the individual is having. It seems to me the section that is in here related to this, I think for the present time, where we are now, where we are with existing legislation, is really quite fair. And I don't have any problems with it, although I hope that section and any controversy around that would keep the central point of this bill from really being looked at, which is the Controlled Substances Act and not a marijuana cultivation bill.
Thank you very much. Zimmer?
I'm John Zimmer from the Reed College Marijuana Line in Reed College in Portland. And my first impression of the bill is that it's really quite conservative. In several cases, it increases penalties for possession of, for instance, any amount of marijuana over an ounce will be under this bill punishable by a class 4 felony, selling someone else. currently that's a Class B felony. Same thing applies for heroin and these other drugs. Also, the decriminalization of two plants is really quite conservative, in my opinion.
But I still think the bill is a good step.
It's a movement towards the realization that some drugs are more dangerous than others, and that we should deal with them, the law should deal with them in a rational form. And I would hope that this would be just the beginning of more reform. I personally would like to see some sort of legalization, at least a personal legalization, maybe not an open market in marijuana, but something that shows the drug is not the same as these other drugs, and that you can set up rational law enforcement for them. Now, I know that at Reed College, 87% of the people tried marijuana there. What's interesting is that less people tried tobacco there than marijuana. I think that's quite important. There's some realization that the dangers from marijuana are a lot less than tobacco. Although I also believe that the dangers of marijuana are less than alcohol. That isn't reflected, unfortunately, that more people use alcohol than marijuana. I think that carries all the way across the state. I would like to see this committee pass this bill.
Okay. Thank you. Questions? Thank you for coming down. Doherty? Newell? That's your pro forma appearance,
right? Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Gene Doherty. I represent the Department of State Police.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, my name is John Newell. I'm representing the Oregon Association of Chiefs of Police. I've been in the Oregon Peace Officers Association and the Sheriff's Association.
I believe you have my comments that were passed out as to A.M. Grove Senate Bill 904. We listed there on page 4, line 6, and again on page 6, line 1 through 3, the definitive part of marijuana. The original bill that was introduced over in the Senate referred to marijuana as cannabis family Mauritia. Whether the senators listened to our testimony over there and decided it should be Sativa L, I'm not sure, but that was not our intent at the time. However, that's the way the A and Growth Bill came out. The reason for this is being that our technicians in the crime laboratory, as well as those in the DEA laboratory in in San Francisco, advise us that Sativa L is a very small branch of the cannabis family. Mauritia meaning a more larger definition of marijuana. This was brought out recently because of a new plant that was just, I'd never heard of it before, just heard of it yesterday. It's called Cannabis Sensimilia, which is another branch. There's Cannabis Mexicana, there's Cannabis Columbia. So I think if we got down to Cannabis Sativa L, we might find ourselves too restrictive in that area. And Mauritia would be those plants of the marijuana drug that have a THC content, which is a content that can be recognizable by chemical tests. That's why we're requesting that the committee consider that. On page 6, lines 1 through 9, which defines marijuana as more than two growing plants or more than 1 ounce, our concern has always been that the cultivation of marijuana should be considered a crime and not a violation. I think Senator Corey testified a minute ago that to his knowledge, he knew of no state that had a cultivation law. I think that's correct. I know of none. Two mature plants at harvest time will contain more than 1 ounce of the dried material. So you have a person during the growing period that's passing from a, I won't call it permissive because you're not permitting it. We're going to fine them. It's a violation, but they're going to be going from a $100 fine up to a much larger fine at some point in time as the plant grows. We have another problem, at least we interpret it to mean that if you had persons cultivating two plants, if you had a large enough household, there's nothing in the law that says that a one-day-old infant cannot have two plants. I'm not sure how the police would handle citing such a person, but this person would be entitled to two plants as I read the law. If you had a large enough family, they could have a substantial amount being cultivated. True, they would be subject to a penalty if they were caught. Therefore, I think it's one of the reasons that we feel that cultivation should not be part of this law. I heard it discussed a while ago, a variation of how people were charged with what offenses involving the cultivation area. I think Representative Gardner discussed that when he said that that's the latitude of the district attorney at the time as he's prosecuting these cases. And in many instances, I think those who were growing less than a few, or just a few plants, were charged probably with a violation, while those that are actually in the business, such as the picture we passed out here, 350 plants in that one area, up to a sizable amount that was recently harvested by the police up in Clackamas County. On page 7, Article 2, Section 2, lines 33 through 34, and again on the top of page 8, line 1, sets forth the makeup of the Committee on Controlled Substances. It's our belief, at least, state police belief, that a police officer should be involved in this setting of the scheduled drugs, along with the pharmacologist, practitioners, and the citizen at large. We believe that a police officer is in more direct contact with the street drug user and therefore in a position to have some input to this committee when it deliberates on where the drugs should be placed, which of the five schedules. Another concern that the department has is on pages 19 and 20, section 25, which speaks to the forfeiture procedures. On page 20, line 1 and 2, we request that that be deleted. That portion that would require the Department of State Police have to convict. Wrong page. Requires the state police to take custody of the property after it's been appropriated by a local law enforcement agency in accordance with the law. And again, down on 9 and 10, would require the department to take custody of all property that had been seized in accordance with the law by the board. Our facilities are extremely limited for holding a property, and this could incur additional costs to the department, which has not been projected in our budget. It's our belief that the law enforcement agency seizing the property, as well as the board, should be responsible for the property until after the case has been properly adjudicated in court for forfeiture. The last witness, I think, raised a question as to where marijuana would be if the passage of this bill takes place and before the committee decided on whether it should be Schedule 1 or 5 or wherever the committee might schedule it to be. He's absolutely correct when he says that in this period of time that it would be classified as a Schedule 1 substance until Oregon could determine where it should be placed. Hopefully, the makeup of the board, the time frame that's in the bill, would allow this committee to meet before the bill became in effect. Because I quote that under the Federal Controlled Substance Act, a Schedule 1 substance, drug in this schedule are those that have no accepted medical use in the United States and have a high abuse potential. Some examples are heroin, marijuana, and so forth on down. LSD, peyote, mescaline, psilocybin, tetrahydrocannabinols, and the whole bit. It would be there, but I'm sure that the committee would give that their utmost attention and see that it was removed out of the Schedule 1 drug because that would make it a Class A felony for any amount over 1 ounce. And I know of no one that wants to enforce it in that direction. There are some concerns elsewhere in the bill that we would like to bring to the committee's attention, especially on lines or pages 11, 12, and 13, which speak to the board's responsibility. And I'm merely bringing these up because the under the Section 9, the registration, and again over on the top, page 12, lines 1 and 2, says that they shall not issue permits to persons who have been, or applicants who have been convicted of federal or state laws relating to controlled substance. Under the present law in Oregon, the board would find some restriction in obtaining this information since they are not a criminal justice agency under the statutes of this state. Senate Bill 357, which is currently receiving hearings over on the Senate side, and I'm not sure which way that's going to go, may or may not open this avenue up to the board. But at the present time, they would have to apply to the governor's office, the Criminal Record Council, to be considered if they had a duty and a function, so that they would have access to the criminal offender file to obtain the information that they should have in order to license a person or register a person under this bill. And I think we also have the same concerns that were voiced by Senator Lombard under Section 20. Distribution of more than an ounce is a, would be a crime depending upon where it's scheduled. Somewhere down from a Class A felony to a Class B misdemeanor, this is you, wherever marijuana would get tossed into that scheduling of drugs. But if it's less than 1 ounce, under the definition of marijuana, it's not defined, because marijuana is defined at over 1 ounce.
Chairman, in the interest of time, Major Doherty and I have discussed these matters, and what has been presented by the Major is concurred by the Chief Association and the other associations that I mentioned. I do have just a couple of comments, if I may. The bill, a testimony has already been given that law enforcement did work very closely in the culmination of the bill is quite accurate. However, we in law enforcement feel that the majority of the bill in the controlled substance is very well done. However, we do feel there's ambiguity in the marijuana section, such as Schedule 4, as Representative Lombard raised a question about the juvenile situation. Representative Frohmeyer raised the point, when is it or when is it not types of situations. We're concerned about those areas. But overall, we felt that the work that had been put into the controlled substance portion was very well done. It may be true that Oregon has been first as a leader, and the press may have taken exception to this. This is the biggest thing since what? Well, so was the Audi. When certain folks tried the Audi cars, it also gained a lot of attention nationally and internationally. So I submit to you that we would request that the marijuana section be deleted and that the bill go forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Do you feel that there is organized crime or whatever involved in the bulk purchase and sale of marijuana in the state now?
I don't believe so.
Do you feel that allowing cultivation would in any way relieve your law enforcement obligations or workload at all?
I don't believe so.
Mayor, your question of organized crime, are we talking about certain organizations? Anybody who gathers together one or more or three people doesn't have to be connected with an association with organized crime. And I
And we have seen those types of situations, and I think that would call that organized.
Ms. Gardner?
Just in response to your last question, I just had a flash on a situation that occurred, I think it was in classic camp not too long ago, that involved two gentlemen I happened to go to school with in high school who were caught, I think, with 4 tons of Colombian.
5.5 tons.
5.5 tons, excuse me. Which had a wholesale value of somewhere around, I think, $500,000.
Near as we can determine, and I can't really say too much about that at the moment because it's still going, but we know of no family organization involved in that matter. There were some people who had a lot of money, but we were unable to determine, at least we've been unable to determine, any actual family membership with that group. Although they are organized, as the chief said, I specifically, maybe hastily, answered Representative Ritchie's question, but I kind of thought that she was asking about the family-oriented groups rather than smaller groups who can band together. Certainly they're organized. You have a group of individuals operating in the city committing burglaries and so forth, I'm sure that there is some association between those groups, and so they could be organized to that extent that each one's knowing what the other's doing.
That wasn't really the emphasis of my question. You stated your opposition, but I didn't really hear a list of articulated reasons why you're opposed and to the legislature. To the marijuana provision.
My particular response to that, Representative, is the fact that the cultivation is the part that I think is going to cause the officer some problems, whether it's 2 plants, 6 plants, 10 plants, or what. I think that's going to cause the problem. I think you heard a testimony a while ago that an officer went apparently to a house and had 1 plant growing. Well, under the law, is the officer supposed to turn and walk away if he knows that that 1 plant's there and it's a violation of the law to grow it? He's going to have to do something. It's his obligation. It's his duty. He may not want to do it. Nevertheless, he's in that position. If the law, if you people pass a law that says a person can't do this and the officer's there, he has to take some action on that. It may not be the way he wants to do it. But I think we're just opening up a can of worms if we get into cultivation business. That's my personal opinion.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Simon?
Chairman, my name is Marty Simon. I'm the state chairman of the U.S. Labor Party. I was also an independent candidate in the 3rd District for Congress. I also am currently residing in Mr. Kapoori's district. So I'm addressing this partly to him, too, as response to, as a letter, an open letter in a certain sense. The 3 points I'd like to make about this law, specifically the part involving marijuana, I think that is the most significant part of the law. One is a somewhat philosophical point about law itself. I'm going to make a brief point about some medical evidence which is not generally known. And I want to talk about the political context upon which this law is being proposed in Oregon. And I'll start with the last. First, in this country, there is a determined campaign supported by the administration, the new Carter administration, to legalize recreational, that's in quotes, drugs, which is in violation currently of international law. This is signaled by Carter's nomination of Peter Bourne to the head of the Drug Enforcement Agency, Carter's relationship to Warner Communications, which is related to Capricorn Records, the Greg Allman rock band, which has been convicted of running a major cocaine smuggling ring in the South, who contributed millions of dollars to the Carter campaign. Also Carter's connections to Paul Austin, who's chairman of the RAND Corporation, connected to Coca-Cola, also to connected to Capricorn Records. Coca-Cola is the largest legal importer of raw cocaine into the United States right now. I mentioned that this is against international law in the memo that I gave you under section number one, under the Convention on Psychoactive Substances drafted by the United Nations Commission on Narcotics Abuse, which is in effect now after being ratified by 42 countries. Any liberalization of drug laws relating to growing, manufacturing, or distributing of drugs, specifically including marijuana, is against international law. Now, that's a law which somewhat binds the United States. There is now an attempt underway to challenge this agreement by forces in the United States connected to NORML by having a third world country break this agreement and undertake commercial production of marijuana, cocaine, and poppy. Marijuana first, cocaine and heroin basically to follow. This is now the lead country upon which this campaign is being focused, is Jamaica. It's true that even while this is illegal, some countries are growing and exporting marijuana right now. Colombia, for instance, made more money last year growing and shipping, exporting marijuana and cocaine than they did by selling their coffee crop, which is their legal crop. The rationale for this attempt to break up this UN agreement in countries like Jamaica and Colombia, is that marijuana is being legalized in the United States. It's being decriminalized in the United States. That the attitudes are changing, therefore it will be imported. That is, the use will be basically stamped with the approval of the administration, and then these countries can begin exporting. It's seen by these countries, to some extent, especially in the case of Colombia immediately, as a way to increase their balance of payments deficit, their debt situation, which is, if you listen to third world countries, their debts are, they're in a mess with their debt, and this is seen as an easy way to pay that debt off. Now, in this country, marijuana decriminalization this year has already been attempted and defeated in the following states: New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Connecticut, Maryland, Mississippi, New Mexico, and Hawaii. This session of the legislature. South Dakota, which legalized or decriminalized marijuana, I'm not sure exactly when, whether it was last year or the year before, recriminalized in this session marijuana. The known fact that marijuana use has increased since decriminalization, that now in Oregon, according to the latest poll, one-third of the population between the ages of 18 and 29 are currently using marijuana. Contrary to what Mr. Kafuri said, this is not a non-issue in this city. We've been doing our own polling in districts, including Mr. Kafuri's district, and people are irate. I don't know why, in fact, they're not being more vocal to the appropriate people, to this committee, for instance. But it's not a case that it's a non-issue. I think it is significant what Mr. Kafuri said about it's the principle of the thing. It's not really the law. It's the principle. We want to say with this principle that private use is okay and selling isn't. But there's very little to justify the fact that using things, as using a so-called harmless substance, is okay, but selling it isn't. That's not going to stand up too long. The point is that marijuana is not just a harmless substance. It's not just another form of recreation. As Peter Bourne said, some people watch TV, some people smoke marijuana. That's not the nature of it. Some people take heroin, he said, and some people can take heroin without getting strung out on it. And that's what that will follow. Scientific studies have shown conclusively that, number one, THC has a half-life in the body of 7 days. If someone smokes more than once a week, they're not drug-free ever. It builds up. That is, that half-life does not mean that even after stopping 7 days, you're clean. In fact, it takes months, 8, 9, 10, or maybe more, depending on how heavy the use was, to completely rid your body and your mind of the effects of the drug. Anybody that has smoked marijuana and quit for a long time knows that it impairs their thinking ability for quite a period of time thereafter. THC accumulates in the brain and impairs both DNA and RNA synthesis and affects cell division. There's no evidence that says that that's not the case, that it does not have those effects. THC accumulates also in the gonads and causes a sharp reduction in the rate of reproduction of sperm cells. Not only does it affect the reproduction of sperm cells and other cells in the body, but it affects the rate of reproduction of those cells. It impairs the immunologic response, which means the ability of your body to produce defenses against disease. A study on monkeys have shown that the effect on the brain is a widening of the synaptic cleft and brainwave disruption following, persisting, as I say, for up to 8 months or more after all exposure to marijuana smoke ended. New research by Dr. Hardin Jones, which I have some of it here, links marijuana use to birth defects, especially defects of the hip joint and cardiovascular system. Now, from a philosophical point, the question of law has sometimes been brought up that, you know, freedom means that we just have to let people do whatever they want, basically. That we have to let people act in such a way, if they only hurt themselves, so be it. Sort of a libertarian notion of freedom. That's not at all the notion of freedom that this country was founded upon at all. In fact, all law, whether it was religious law or constitutional law, was to viciously repress anarchist, anti-social kinds of activity, always, by putting either a moral sanction upon that kind of activity or putting a legal sanction on that kind of activity. Freedom was the responsibility of the citizen to participate in the process of society and to develop themselves to accomplish this. Anything which hurt the individual's ability to do that, which didn't safeguard that individual, was in fact outlawed or morally condemned by society. This is different than the notion of tolerance, but the notion of freedom is separate from the notion of toleration. Now, there are two reasons that tolerance, that toleration is also written into the laws of the country and into the Constitution, but it's not the same as freedom. And those two reasons are, number one, before the fact, it's hard to tell whether certain kinds of creative innovation or certain kinds of new social behavior will actually have a beneficial effect for the individual and for society. So condemning anything new or different, that is, that's not the status quo, was seen as absolutely wrong, because it would snuff out potentially beneficial activity. So the law was basically written in this regard, to the extent that new kinds of activity or new inventions or new whatever did not absolutely threaten the very existence of the nation, then in fact it was to be tolerated and written into our laws in that sense. There was a second reason for toleration. Second reason to tolerate activity is that you don't want to basically act as parents to everyone. You don't want an infantile population. You don't want the government taking the role of parent and legislating everything. This is how it's to be done. In fact, you allow toleration so that people make mistakes. You can tolerate those kind of mistakes if they don't threaten the well-being of the nation. And in fact, the learning process occurs in that. That is, the self-development of the human individual takes place with that toleration. Those are the only two legitimate notions that I know about to tolerate basically destructive activity.
Simon, I'm going to have to ask you to...
I'm at the very end.
I still have one more witness for our session.
All right, I'm at the very end. Law must reflect the minimal cultural prerequisites for the continued existence of the nation. As it says in number three, a society which is indifferent to the weakening of this creative potential fails to maintain the cultural prerequisites for its own continued existence. And it's exactly that creative potential of the individual, which is impaired with marijuana use, which represents the future. Now, who would say that the willful destruction of human creative capacity is not a crime? I'd like to hear the argument that that's not a crime. This state should, and this committee, I mean, it's up to you at this point, should take the lead in guaranteeing these cultural prerequisites I think that the appropriate action for this committee to do would be to do two things. One, to recriminalize marijuana in this state, not that it's going to immediately change the law enforcement. That's not, in fact, what this bill is to do. It's to set principles. If you want to set principles, the principle should be to recriminalize marijuana as a commitment to the creative powers of the population of this state. The second thing, I suggest that this legislature launch an educational campaign around the dangers of marijuana use, specifically the medical evidence which is not currently in circulation, which is available, and I'll make it available to members of the committee that want to see it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Connell. Questions? Thank you very much. Beckman?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Bob Speckman, and I'm really here in place of Henry Speckman, the manager of the Oregon State Pharmaceutical Association, who couldn't be here. And I'd just like to read a short statement regarding 904. The Oregon State Pharmaceutical Association supports Senate Bill 904 as amended by the Senate Judiciary Committee. Passage of Senate Bill 904 would certainly help the professions of medicine and pharmacy to operate under both federal and state law, as they would then be in conformity. We are pleased to lend our support to the passage of SB 904.
Yeah. Henry just submitted some amendments called proposed amendments SB 904 on the 22nd of March. Were those incorporated in the bill?
Now,
we don't have it.
Is this the amendment that pertains to the Bill Board of Pharmacy?
Yeah. Well, this pertains to the over the counter sales. Please speak to me.
That's
the proposed form of the case.
Well,
who's proposing it? You or Henry Beckman or his staff?
Let's
come up here so we can hear you on the mic.
Sure, for the record, I'm Jim Havel, the Alcohol and Drug Policy Resource Staff. Those over-the-counter amendments that you referred to, Representative Perlmutter, were presented to the Senate Judiciary Committee. The Senate Committee was receptive to those amendments, but there were a number of other amendments, and when the Senate Committee finally acted on that, they did not adopt those amendments. It was not a question of them not taking action. I think it was just a matter that the amendments got lost in the shuffle. Senator Kefouri has since then distributed those amendments to you. Those are one of the three suggested amendments that have been presented today. And Senator Kefouri, I believe, does endorse those amendments.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone further than you on 904?
The House is due to reconvene at 3 o'clock. I custom had been 3:30, and I thought we would have a full half hour. I know some of you have been here all day on the auto repair bill, and I am truly sorry for the time that you may have think you've wasted, although I hope you've had the opportunity to see some things around the legislature and avoid making the day a total loss. We are going to take up the bill again probably on Thursday morning and hope to finish with it then by way of a final vote after consideration of amendments. If there are any of you who want to be notified by phone of when in fact we will take the bill up again, I think you would care to be back and be present at the work session, if you would leave your name with the committee clerk and your phone number, we'll call you and let you know when that's set. Right now, I'm pretty sure it'll be Thursday morning at 8:15. But we will finish with the bill this week, for sure, at least by Friday at 5. The bill will be finished, acted on one way or the other, with or without amendment. So the bill is passed out. It will be on the House floor next week. Okay? Thank you all. We'll be in recess until 1:30 tomorrow. Or 8:15 in the morning.